This is how we do it.
Here we go. Here we go.
Like you definitely see you back in the club.
That won't be up. That's how we do it, baby.
We need a retro night. BT and Sal.
God, I love this stuff.
Hit the club. Little retro night.
Friday night.
I'm loving this stuff. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, 888-808-1019. You were just saying, as we continue the conversation about Giants' future quarterbacks here, were you trying to find a list or just searching some of the potential options? Because some of them we don't really know. Yeah. Like, there are options that maybe we haven't mentioned or we haven't heard of.
That's what I was looking for. Nothing really jumped out. I mean, it's the same old regurgitation. Do you trade for McCarthy? Do you... You know, and if you're just tuning in, obviously, the focus is on Drew Aller tonight. Yes. That could obviously open things up for the Giants, so that's what we started with. They're playing the Irish, and he doesn't know if he's going to come out. He's big. He's got a rocket, not as nimble as some of the speedsters out there right now, but he can definitely throw the heck out of it.
And by the way, he's very young. He's not just him for the Giants, potentially... Him just being in it means the Giants will have a choice of one of the top three quarterbacks.
Correct. So just doing the searches, and today's not the first time I've done it, just to make sure there's no names that we've missed. No, there's nobody that we've missed.
Yeah, and again, names. Like Trevor Lawrence, you could bring up Trevor Lawrence. That's great. We don't know if he's going to be available. J.J. McCarthy. We could bring up J.J. McCarthy, or Mel Kiper Jr. could report about it all he wants. We don't know if he's going to become available. You would assume that either J.J. McCarthy or Sam Darnold are going to become available. And by the way, like... And this is why when people say, well, Sal, you hate Daniel Jones, but yet a couple years ago you liked him. Yeah, well, think about this situation that the Giants are going to be in. When we start getting into those names, whether it's Sam Darnold or, you know, or Justin Fields, yeah, well, Daniel Jones is also one of those guys, and he happens to be one who won a road playoff game in the NFL. So those are the type of guys that I think the Giants need to do better than, because they just had one for several years here. They gave it every shot that they could to make it work. It didn't. I am not keen on taking a flyer on Sam Darnold. It would, to me, be a flyer on Sam Darnold. Trevor Lawrence, yeah, I think there's more potential there, especially if Dable thinks he can fix him. Justin Fields, I loved him his first year with Chicago, but I think there are severe limitations there. Look, if he were that good, he'd be playing right now for the Steelers instead of Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
and Russell Wilson's true. Another one of these guys. Like, he might be available. Like, they don't need, to me, Aaron Rodgers. Evan brought him up yesterday. They're all in the same group, to me, of the stopgap type, more so than the next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, but a few of those names are stopgaps with upside versus just being stopgaps like an Andy Dalton type or a Tyrod Taylor. Not that you mentioned either one of those.
So, there's, like, Fields? You think?
I like Justin Fields. I really do. The more I think about this, and I'm usually the opposite for a team trying to snap out of this funk, I'm not risk averse, because I think to take a massive swing and to get out of these doldrums and shake this malaise outside of 2022, I think you've got to do something that's pretty bold here if it presents itself. But I'm actually going against my own philosophy specific to where these Giants are. And I don't want to take a massive risk. And I'll explain a little further. I'm going to explain a little further. Like, I said this to Sal before. Yeah, the Jaguars might be prepared to move on from Trevor Lawrence. Honestly, I just don't think he has the stones for New York. I don't think he's a dog. I don't want him. So, you know, you could Miami want to mess around. Somebody warm, Carolina, whatever. Not Carolina, but, you know, stay down there. I don't think he's a Northeast kind of guy. I just don't. So, I'm not interested. Plus, he's gotten paid. No, thank you. And then I look at somebody like McCarthy. Now, that is something that I would roll the dice on in terms of the draft capital. So, I'm not risk-averse to that. But I think the best situation... youth, athleticism, potential upside, price tag that is swallowable, if you will.
Right.
And is it going to linger for 3, 4, 5 years? Justin Fields, to me, is a very, very good, appealing, electric, potentially rewarding stopgap.
And you think more so than one of the top three quarterbacks in the draft, assuming Aller comes out?
Not necessarily. I got to see. And again, I can't answer this from their perspective, because they might look at Drew Aller as a stiff.
Yeah.
They might look at Sanders. We don't want to deal with Deion. Who knows?
Right.
Cam Ward, he ain't the guy. He's too slow. Whatever it might be. I don't know. You know, it's so subjective. I don't know how they view these. I know they've scouted all six, including the kid at Bama, including Aller tonight at Penn State. They've scouted all and the main two. I don't know. I would be open to, really, I guess what I'm saying is I'm open to almost anything, with the exception of a trade for somebody like Trevor Lawrence and even bringing in like a turnover machine and try to fix somebody like Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
and they don't have time for that.
Oh, come on, Jameis, Garoppolo, Rodgers, like
Garoppolo.
Those guys. Well, I'm just saying, like, those are the type of same guys, even though I think Rodgers is a better fit for the Jets. Like, I'm not doing that with the Giants. I want upside. So Fields is kind of in between. Like, McCarthy, yes. If you're going to go get him, again, it would be backwards, meaning that you passed on him last year and go trade for him. But sure, at least there's the upside and the unknown there. The top three guys in the draft, whichever one, there's the upside and the unknown there. I think there's. I like Lawrence a little bit more than... Now, I never liked Lawrence to begin with.
I did.
But at least in this scenario, well, now New York is a different animal, and I tend to agree with you. I don't know if he'd work here, but I'd at least be willing to take that chance with Shane and Dable based on his potential and upside. That to me is more, and then Fields would be the last of that group. Again, same thing. Based on his potential and upside, I'd be willing to take a chance. It's got to be a younger guy with the upside versus a you know where his ceiling is type guy, and you're bringing him in as a quote-unquote stopgap. I need the upside for potential franchise quarterback, even if it doesn't work out that way.
I get it, and Giant fans are craving it. And just to communicate this a little more thoroughly, like just for the purposes of the show, timing restraints, and I've got to give an opinion. Like, man, if I am, and I told you what about Lawrence, and I believe that, and I feel that way, but like if I'm running the Giants and a potential Trevor Lawrence deal crosses my desk, I'm not saying it's easy to turn it down. Right. Like, there's a lot to consider. I just have the fear that he's just not a New York guy.
Right.
And I don't think he resonates in the locker room. I can't prove this, but he's certainly not what he was supposed to be. Now, has it been because the dysfunction has just derailed him?
He also had a Super Bowl winning head coach coaching him.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, who was also a... I mean, he was a great coach, maybe not with the Jaguars, doing some other things. But
yeah, but it's not like he's coming into the model of consistency with the Giants. The Giants have been a turnstile of turmoil themselves.
Understood, but I'm just saying he hasn't had the ultimate success with a coach in place that you think would... It wasn't like the setup that Zach Wilson had with the Jets.
No.
He had an opportunity, especially after they went to Doug Peterson, he had an opportunity to succeed and just hasn't taken that to the next level.
And it's a bad division, too.
Yeah, I still believe in his potential, especially more so than the other options that might be available. Tim is on Staten Island. What's up, Timmy?
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. I've gotten on with you a couple of times.
Thank you. What's
all
up,
right, Tim?
Specifically about the Giants, I am a huge Giants fan. I would take McCarthy, but just not with the third overall pick. But I think the most important thing that the Giants do right now is having a quarterback competition. The biggest debacle of the Jones horrific era was that they handed him the job year after year after year and never made him compete. So I want a combination of a veteran stopgap, like you guys were saying, and a young quarterback, whether it's the first or second round, and make them compete.
So, like, somebody, meaning drafting somebody in the three spot and taking somebody like Justin Fields? Because, you know, Tyrod Taylor, let's not just use him, somebody like that. Yeah, he might start the first three, four, five games, so you just protect the young man, but they're not going to compete. Whereas somebody like Justin Fields is more of a viable presentation. Like, all right, if you're not ready and you don't show, talking about the third pick, this kid's in his mid-20s, and we could roll with him for a little bit, so you've got to show us something.
The problem is, in theory, I like that idea. Like, yeah, have him compete. Look what the Steelers did this year. They had a competition between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. The problem is, if you take a quarterback with the number three overall pick, there is no competition. He's eventually going to be the guy, whether it is mid-season this year, whether it's the start of the year, whether it's the following year. Like, once you decide that you're taking a quarterback that high,
like Penix,
that's your whatever. That's your guy. Eventually, that's your guy. People were questioning Atlanta for doing that, saying, "How the hell could you do this?" The reason was because quarterbacks are valuable. They loved Penix. He happened to fall to them. They would have been idiotic if they passed on him in lieu of Kirk Cousins. Look what happened. Like, now, at least with Atlanta, they have the future with Michael Penix. Whether they're going to be good or not, who knows, but they have their franchise quarterback, and they're going to move on from Kirk Cousins. By the way, he's another name that we didn't mention that could be one of those guys.
God.
But the point is, if you're going to do a competition, that means you're going to eliminate the young quarterback. Not saying that he couldn't compete for the job, like, on day one, but it's his... job eventually. It's not a true competition. Like, Drew Locke was never really in a true competition. It was Daniel Jones.
Exactly, dude. And let's face it, like, a quarterback competition is different than, like, you know, two kids battling it out for the third base job where you could play, you know, 2-3 times a week each and split up 50 at-bats and say, okay, this guy's hitting 190, this kid's hitting 320. It's your job, young man. Go get him. Where's the competition coming from? You know, when you're throwing the ball around in shorts? I mean, nobody plays during the summer anymore, the exhibition, the preseason game. So, you know, I just had an epiphany. It just hit me. We always say, and sometimes we're actually serious, depending upon which team we're talking about, that we could actually be better GMs than some of these GMs here, right? Now, if I ran the Jets or the Giants, here's what I would actually do. I would do the exact opposite of a lot of things, but specific to the quarterback position. These teams get in trouble when they need a quarterback and then they have to react to the need. Okay, we don't really love Jones, but we'll take him at six. Zach Reddy played COVID, barely played anybody good. I don't know. Can he handle the market? We need somebody. Let's take him. Same with Darnold. Bone didn't play a lot of football. We need him. We'll take him. Rather than taking a quarterback when you need one, how about taking a quarterback when you have one? Because when you already have one, generally, your mind is a little more freed up because you're not desperate. You're not worried about job security. You're not cluttered. You can think freely and clearly because you already have your guy.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right, but the problem is to do that, and I agree with you, it's what the Packers have done. Even what the Chiefs did when they had Alex Smith bringing in Patrick Mahomes. Like, you could have a viable option at quarterback and then identify one. The Eagles have done that years over. The better franchises do that.
There you go.
In lieu of insulting the starting quarterback, doesn't matter. I don't care what you think. We have Carson Wentz, or you're taking Jalen Hurts. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I believe in having as many quarterbacks as possible. And think about where those picks, those quarterbacks were taken. Rodgers late in the first round, or Hurts second round, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But to get there, you actually have to have one. The Giants didn't draft a quarterback when they had Eli, and the Jets have never had a quarterback in place to even be in a spot to say, that was the idea with bringing in Rodgers, where you'd maybe build the foundation and then take the next guy.
Well, the Giants should have been, again, so easy to sit here and say this now, and you know, you learn from past mistakes. The Giants should have been looking for a quarterback when Eli was 30.
Correct.
Not when he was 36.
Right, that's the mistake, taking all these wide receivers or kind of whatever it may be, and then even the worst part was when they clearly needed one. And they had the second pick, and instead of taking Josh Allen, let's say, they took a running back, Saquon Barkley. Like, that one move, not to go all the way back, but those are moves. That's the difference.
I know.
Of years, maybe decades, of a franchise having success or not.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants could have had, Jets and Giants could have had Josh Allen. And the Giants took a running back instead.
And that's only baking in the one mistake.
Right,
The mistakes downstream that you then make chasing the initial mistake, it does lead up to a decade, if not more.
William is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, William?
Billy.
Good morning. First time callers, so please bear with me.
First time. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Regarding the Giants quarterback situation, I believe there are three players that they should pursue and pursue aggressively if they don't get the quarterback that everybody seems to crave.
Mm-hmm.
They're all young and talented. They both, you can make the case with two, that they were ruined and failed by the organization. And most importantly, you're going to be able to get either one at a team-friendly deal, which is going to allow you to sign some quality free agents. Number one's been mentioned many times, Justin Fields.
Okay.
Do not mess around.
Yep.
The second one's more controversial.
Good.
Zach Wilson. He was bad when he was here in New York. But how much of that was on him? How much of that was on an organization who we know the OC didn't do him any favors?
Yep.
And it's very telling that Sean Payton, who we know is a quarterback guru, did not expose him to the practice squad, but kept him on the roster the whole season because he recognized his talent and coachability. He said as much.
Yep.
And the third one, if they could get via trade, Joe Milton of the New England Patriots.
Mm.
So you give me Wilson, Fields, or Milton. You got to hit on some of your draft picks, sign some quality free agents, and you will be back to a watchable, competitive product sooner rather than later. Thank you. I'll hear your comments.
You got it, Will. Thanks, buddy.
Good call, Will.
Yeah, very good. Think about this, Sal. Like, and I thought it was very telling the way he ended the conversation. They'll be back to a watchable product, not back to a championship right. level. You know, if you do this and you hit on that and you pop on this and this happens and this works out favorably, the Giants will be watchable again.
Yeah, I mean, look, we take it, wouldn't we? I mean, instead of watching that slop, just get back to watchable. Forget, and then we can start talking about playoffs or Super Bowl level. I think Milton is very intriguing, especially now. Look, we're going based off of what we saw when he played Week 18 against Buffalo for the Patriots, taking over for Drake May. Is he going to be available? I have no idea how that's going to work, but if he is, it's something that would be intriguing. I like the outside the box thinking with Zach Wilson. However, if you're Shane and Dable, there's absolutely no chance you can hitch your wagon to Zach Wilson to be the franchise quarterback. In theory, you're right. Like, yeah, a top pick that was failed or set up to fail by the organization, still has some ability, now learned under Sean Payton for a year and sat. I mean, he could be the next Sam Darnold, let's say. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But I wouldn't go that way. And Justin Fields has proven himself to where he can win. Also, a little bit with the Bears. I shouldn't say win, but he had success.
For sure.
His first year with the Bears. Weren't really a winning team. And then, you know, learned under Tomlin and Russell Wilson for a year. So maybe he's more valuable next year. I like the thought process. I don't know how realistic Milton would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want Zach Wilson, especially in New York. I think a different market would be better.
Yep.
And I'd be open to the idea of Fields, but I think there are better options.
I like Fields. You just can't bring Zach back to New York. You can't do it. You know what I do like for the young man is that really you haven't read one story about Zach Wilson this whole year.
He's probably getting back to loving and learning football. And I hope he gets another opportunity somewhere.
Yeah, I
really
him.
Love to see
him. You know, it's my guy. I thought he was going to be the savior, dude. I really did.
He might be for some other team. Hey, all kidding aside, those guys, like, we've now seen this in the NFL. It may take some time, but these young quarterbacks, I mean, we saw it firsthand with Geno and Sam Darnold. Like, they have had some modicum of success.
Definitely.
Who knows? Maybe Daniel Jones has some success eventually. I would doubt it because we saw 6 years in. But whatever. Like, point is, these young guys that were high draft picks, that have ability, and were maybe put in positions that weren't conducive to succeeding, mm-hmm. to put it mildly, go elsewhere, learn a little bit, go to different systems, sit for a year. Man, imagine the whirlwind that became Zach Wilson's life the second he was drafted to where it was this past season. It's not even close.
I know. I mean, geez. And I think really the characteristic that allows somebody to just get eaten up and then eventually rise somewhere else, it's got to be the brain.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I wouldn't rule out Daniel Jones eventually going somewhere. I'm not saying being a superstar, but I have brought up the Rich Gannon comparison. Remember when Rich won the MVP? He was 37, 38 years of age under John Gruden. Very, very similar body to Daniel Jones, and also he can run. You know, Rich Gannon back in the day can move, and we know Daniel Jones has no problem running as well. But, like, Sam Darnold's a smart kid. Geno is an intellectual type. I don't know that Jet fans thought that because all we knew of Geno was interception. Getting popped in the face by a teammate. Gino's actually a really cerebral kid. He really is. You listen to him, and you know, and he just is. And I think if you've got that brain power, because they can all throw the ball. Yeah,
does Zach or Daniel Jones? See, those are things
I don't know if Zach does. I think Jones does. I know Daniel Jones has the brain. I don't know if Zach has that brain power. No disrespect.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
On that level.
When you start talking about that, it sounds like you're saying the guy's dumb.
Not at all, dude.
And we're not saying that, or we're certainly not saying that about them. We're talking about from a football perspective.
If you can know an NFL playbook, you're not dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, to know the playbook, you're not dumb.
To have to quote-unquote dummy it down. Right, we're not saying they're dumb individuals. Saying that I don't think Daniel Jones has the proper ability to read the field and make decisions. Same thing with Zach Wilson.
The
game's too fast for him.
I didn't think Sam Darnold had that either, Sal. Yeah.
See, I wouldn't. Darnold to me just looked scared at times here, and just kind of like he looked on Sunday night, where he was intimidated a little bit by the moment. But either way, maybe those guys could get it at some point. Point is, I like the idea of taking a flyer on somebody who once was thought to be a great quarterback, maybe learning years later under a different system, had things calm down for him, and could be good, although it wouldn't be Wilson, Zach Wilson, not in this town. When we come back, are you going to give us your decision here on who you're going to dress up as?
Yeah, I'll do it next.
Yeah, 11:20. We did it yesterday. We mentioned
All right. Paid off
you
coming
made,
up.
You made the decision. You
made went home the decision.
And you consulted with your people.
I even asked my wife. And I put it out on Soch.
Did your wife agree with where you were?
Let's put it this way. Okay, I'll tell you when we come
back. We'll get into it when we get back.
I'll take you through the whole thing.
And then we'll get back to the calls. BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Valentine back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking Giants quarterback situation. Before we get back to that, yesterday we announced the two former WWE superstars, whatever, characters that I selected that BT and Hoff are going to have to dress as their penance for losing the perfect parlay pick segment this year. Last year, of course, BT was Goldust. I was Doink the Clown. This year, somebody's going to be Brother Love. Somebody's going to be Papa Shango. BT, you said you would go home. Think about it. Take me through the process.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the process was fairly easy. Then it became a little complicated later in the day. So I thought you were pretty. I thought you were pretty light with me here. Like, you know, I don't have to dress up as a clown. I don't have to dress up whatever Goldust is. I'm still not sure.
Right.
I don't know. I just I still don't know. I tried to learn. I don't know. You know, I mean, Papa Shango to me, I had checked out of the wrestling at that point.
Right.
So I really don't. You know, I don't. I remember his name.
Did you do any research?
Of course, like, okay. I did. I watched some promos. Of course, I did research. Man,
the thing that he had with the Warrior.
Yes. Okay. Of course, Brother Love. Who I thought was a cornball that I wanted to punch back in the day. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I, you know, I love you. this guy's the worst, man. So, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going to be easier?
Right.
What's going to be easier for me?
Oh, not even like what's going to make you look better.
Well, that's part of it.
Costume-wise.
I didn't want to be the clown. Not that I wanted to be Goldust, but that was last year. This year, I'm like, I don't really care what I am. What's easier in terms of getting the stuff?
Okay, now before you give the answer, Hoff, did you have a preference? Are you sweating out the decision here? Is there one better than the other? He's already made his decision, so it's not going to impact
it. I got to be honest, both. I'm going to look like a fool either way.
That is correct.
Brother Love is, I hated this guy. this is the one guy I really did legitimately hate. Yeah. So, but I think Papa Shango is a little bit badass. So I'm assuming I'm going to be Papa Shango.
Oh, you're assuming that.
You're assuming that I think that you're a badass?
And
that's quite the assumption there, buddy.
And you don't have a preference either way. You feel like you're going to look foolish.
I'm just glad that my wife will be happy.
Well, Papa Shango does have some.
How are those biceps going? Because he's got some biceps.
They're a little floppy.
Unless you wear the jacket.
He's got the cape, too.
I'm going to
research that as well. I looked at everything, man. I really did. I tell you, I take this stuff very seriously. Now, all right. So, the whole voodoo thing, whatever. We were messing around with that. I think.
And by the way, Brother Love is an evangelist? A televangelist?
Yes, that sounds right.
Like
you could trust that guy. Every money you donate to his church is going to the 9 Lexuses that he has and the 3 condos that he's got with like 5 chicks. That guy. All right. So then I asked my wife.
Yes, this is what I'm fascinated.
I asked my wife, and she's like, oh, and I thought she was going to say Shango. I did. Because I think Papa Shango's a little badass as well.
Right.
She's like, oh, you have to go with the guy with the red face. I'm like, really? The guy with the red face, huh?
Hmm.
And she's like, yeah, because now her logic was faulty, even though it was well-intentioned. She's like, yeah, he looks like a clown. I don't think she looked very closely. She's like, Pop, this guy looks like a clown. She's like, you don't want to look like Sal last year. That's what she said. I'm like, well, he's not a clown. He's more like a cannibal. I don't even know what he is, right? He's just a satanic whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, the other guy, yeah, it's just simple. She's like, you just put some red on you. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty easy. Then I asked a lot of my buddies. And then I get back the Macho Man GIFs. I'm like, no, I don't get to pick it, idiots. And I know that they listen to the show.
They're
getting more convoluted. Then I put it on Instagram.
You saw this.
You didn't weigh in verbally.
No.
Okay. So, but you did see because I saw that you liked it. And the first 12 to 15 were, you got to go Brother Love, Brother Love, Brother. That's the first 15 in unison, like BL, 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 BL. And then there was a late wave of Papa Shango. So now I'm really confused. Would you like me to reveal?
Yes.
All right.
I want the reveal.
I will reveal after a wild, twisting ride. I hate losing these picks of the NFL. I love BT and Sam.
Yes.
I am going to do the Brother Love gimmick to the point where...
You're going to have to get a wig now.
I know. That's the one thing that I left out. If I was Papa Shango, he's bald. It's easy.
Or the hat, right.
Or the hat, which is just a cheap hat, whatever. So I've got to find a slick back wig. I've ordered, which that's the only thing... That is not in my Amazon cart. I've got the glasses. I got the red paint. I got the white suit. I got the red shirt. I could probably borrow Beningo's red shirt. Because, you know, he's still, but it wouldn't fit.
And white suit.
And white tie. That's right. That's true. It wouldn't fit. Otherwise, I would. So it is partly out of convenience. To be honest, I don't really think doing all the intricate makeup that this guy's going to have to be with Papa.
Oh, yes.
I also remember his character more.
Yep,
yeah,
I love
he's corny and I hated him. And Sean goes more badass, but I'm going to be Papa.
Love it.
I'll be brother-in-law.
Excellent decision,
I
BT.
I love you.
Here's why I love this decision. Because you have to wear a wig, which is nice. And Hoff has to either shave his head or
Whoa,
you got to be Papa Sean.
Shave it. You got to get that full piece.
You know.
Shave it.
What's that called? His bodysuit that he would wear?
Not a leotard. Yeah. Not the singlet.
I've already decided
that I'm coming to work dressed as Papa Shango. Like, I'm not going to do it here like you guys.
Wow.
I'm not that creative artistically. I'm going to have my wife do my face paint.
Well, you'll fit right in on the train.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just make sure you drive in that day.
Yeah, who's that on the one train?
Yeah, but the car might be worse if there's traffic and people see me and I'm just waving.
Yeah. No, but hold on.
I love this.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. But you, part of the fun is doing it here so we can record it digitally.
No, I want it to be. But listen, I'm going to be looking badass.
You will.
I want to make sure it's done right. So let me do. Let my wife handle that part.
She's really going to paint your face with that?
Oh, my God. She's going to be amazing.
Could she come in studio that day or what?
Probably not.
We're not going to get the whole. Well, I guess you could record it. I mean, he's kind of.
We'll record it from home.
Taking away some of the fun.
No,
but
no, that's all right.
I'm going to walk through the doors, Papa Shango, either way.
I actually thought about last year, like, because convenience purposes, I thought maybe I was going to have to do it at home and come in. But
you and I
in the bathroom. Yeah, I remember that day vividly.
Hysterical. We're cursing everybody out. Yeah. We're doing it together.
Looking
in the bathroom.
At ourselves in the mirror, putting on a damn makeup.
I even looked up, like, satanic, like, rings. I looked at all this stuff on Amazon.
Now, I got those rings.
I got eight of them coming. I'm leaning in. Hey, listen, when we do it, we do it.
Hey, you got to do it right. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Hey, man, part of it is fun. Like, you know the clown costume.
Part of it, kind of looks forward to it. I wish that was a cooler gimmick.
Well, that's part of the pain.
Understood.
BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. We'll take a quick break. Come back with your calls. Giants quarterback has been the conversation. We'll get into some baseball along the way as well. We got to play a card game, too. That's coming up at 12:40, so we'll have some fun with Pull Your Card before we get really into the Pull Your Card World Series. We did that about a year ago. We'll pick that up either next week or the week after. Just have to map that out, but still a lot to do here with BT and Sal.
You keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the side before.
Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. My favorite part of that last commercial break was hearing BT and Hop discuss the costumes and how they're going to do it. Oh, I'm going to look good and this and that. What all the stuff you guys were discussing there. This is going to be so much fun. I love it. The brother love character getting into that, BT. Hop is pumped about his Papa Shango thing, so there's a lot going on there. As far as the perfect parlay pick segment and the payoff, we're looking forward to it, which will be, by the way, paid off on the Friday, the final football Friday of the season, the Friday before the Super Bowl. So we could look forward to that. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ben is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
To you on Odyssey. Guys, I love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to get your take on, I mean, I think it's the best move they could make is to figure out a trade down with the Patriots to get Joe Milton. I mean, this guy's a stud. He's got all the measurables. He checks all the boxes you guys were talking about as far as upside, physical attributes, talent. And I'll give you one more value presentation, I guess, if you will. He can help unlock Jalin Hyatt as well. Those two have big chemistry. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that. I mean, I feel like that's our smartest move. I feel like that'll make Daboll and Joe Schoen look like geniuses coming out of this draft.
Yeah, if it works. You know, that's... Hey, listen, it's not bad. And thanks for the call. It's not bad. I think that the answer for the Giants, I said this to Sal the other day, I know we're all searching for the conventional answer, like, okay, you draft first or second or third, you draft that guy, boom, and he's your quarterback for 15, 18, 20 years like Eli. How often does that happen? Once a lifetime? You know,
right.
Certainly in our town, the Packers are a little different. That's about it. The Niners back in the day with Montana and Steve Young, that's about it. So I think the answer very well might be an unconventional answer. And was anybody thinking about Joe Milton a week ago?
No.
From the Giants' perspective?
No. So then
he
comes into the game and he lights it up and looks good. Now all of a sudden, and there are reports that the Patriots are receiving multiple. Here's the actual report that I'm seeing. You're hearing multiple. This is from Steve Palazzolo, who I'm not sure who that is on social media.
Steve Palazzolo?
No, P-A-L-A-Z-Z-O-L-O.
I don't know him.
Palau, whatever, whoever, the dude, Steve. Come on. This guy's called Joe Shane, Joe Sean. I can't correct him because I get names wrong all the time. Hearing multiple quarterback-needed teams have inquired about Patriots QB Joe Milton. So, look, it's if Shane and Dable identify Milton as somebody that they believe can be a franchise quarterback, I would be just as excited about him, if not more excited about him, than I would about any of the top three quarterbacks coming out of the draft. That's the type of guy that I want. Somebody with potential to be the franchise quarterback, not to mention somebody that can move like Milton. So there's a lot of reason to be excited about that if he is available. Now, there's also a buyer beware. Remember Matt Flynn many years ago?
Yes,
where he
yes.
comes into the final game of the year, throws
five touchdowns or maybe
whatever.
Even six that day, and he got paid.
It was some ridiculous
number. Seattle paid him.
Was that Favre or Rodgers? I don't even remember. It was that long
I
ago.
Think that was Rodgers. Wait, hold on. That was Favre. Wait, hold on.
Matt Flynn, I mean, you're going back years.
Because then Flynn signed with Seattle.
Probably was Rodgers, right.
And then Russell Wilson won the job in Seattle right away as a rookie.
So it had to be Rodgers.
And that was 2011. Yes,
yeah,
that would have been Aaron Rodgers. That
was
Rodgers.
Yes,
that was Rodgers.
Anyway, it's that long ago that like it had to jog my memory again. But point is, Matt Flynn takes over the final game of the year in a meaningless game, throws five, six touchdowns, whatever it was, gets a big contract. So you be careful.
Uh-huh.
But still, this would be a young quarterback that you're not going to be giving big money to. You'd be trading for him.
Dude, he's 6'5", 250.
Yeah.
I didn't think Joe Milton was that big.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, I didn't even know anything about
him. I've never seen him at Tennessee.
And then I was watching a little bit of those games and the highlights and seeing that he was in there. And it looked pretty good. And I can see why people are going nuts about him on social media on Sunday. John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, fellas? BT,
yo.
You know I love you, and I would love to see you in a Papa Shango outfit, but I guess I got to go with Brother Love.
Yeah,
I got to come at you a little bit, man, because every time you talk about a quarterback, I get a little cringe. I get a little cringe, man, because you talk about Drew Allen like you were talking about Zach Wilson for the last 2-3 years. As a Giants fan, I want no parts of Drew Allen because you got to think about it from this perspective. A lot of the rookie quarterbacks that have been successful over the last few years, they've had a lot of snaps under center in college.
Yep.
Drew Allen, he's not done yet.
I know.
He needs to go back. And so if you're the Giants, you can't be messing around trying to give the starter spot to a guy that only started for 1 year, or at least have 1 year of good tape in college.
Well, John, think about this. I'm not saying that first of all, I don't even know if Drew Allen's going to come out. I appreciate the call, John. I appreciate the pushback. I don't think that you're wrong, but I also don't think that you heard me incorporate that. He is very raw. He has not made a lot of starts. He's made 28 college starts, and that is not a ton. And there's some real evidence out there, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Sam Darnold before he had this renaissance here with the Vikings. You know, Mark Sanchez back in the day, that's something Pete Carroll talked about with Mark Sanchez. He hasn't played a whole lot of football, and that is something that's been more of a point of emphasis. All I'm saying with Drew Allen is tonight, from a Giants perspective, you sit down and you hope that he just balls out. Because if he does, it just expands the options the Giants have. I'm not saying you definitely take him,
right.
But it might mean Tennessee takes him.
Correct.
Or the Browns take him. Or you could take him. Or you can now trade out because somebody wants a third quarterback who up until maybe tonight isn't thought to be a top three or top five pick. That's all I'm saying.
If Drew Allen enters the draft, it guarantees that the Giants will have their option. If Drew Allen enters the draft, it guarantees that the third pick of the draft could select a quarterback.
Correct, without having to move up.
Correct. So either they take who's left, or they trade out to have somebody that loves who's left.
Yes.
Well, however,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's a huge, huge thing.
And he's 6'5", 240, and half these people are wrong half the time, but he throws the hell out of it. There's no question about his arm talent. He is big, he is strong, and he can throw it. Now, the other stuff, I don't know.
Right, but it's not
I gotta watch him more.
Yeah, agreed. And I can't wait to watch the game tonight. And it's not even just about Drew Allen, though, because he might go number one.
Yeah.
We honestly don't know. Like, we could talk about the speculation and Cam Ward going number one, and people think Sanders may be number two, although Deion doesn't want him to go to Cleveland. Whatever it may be, Allen may not be there for the Giants, so you don't have to worry about that. But if he's not, then you could get a pick of the other quarterback that would be left between Ward or Sanders. And if they don't love either, to your point, then you could trade down a little bit, still get the player that you identify to be the best in the draft, and get another draft pick or two in addition to that, which would be the home run move. Cameron is in Sarasota, Florida. What's up, Cameron?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Cameron?
Good. So, I was thinking about this situation a lot over the last few days, and I think the key here is to not trade a bunch of future assets to move up in the draft. Now, under the assumption that the Titans and Browns are looking at a quarterback, right? If you're Joe Shane, you don't want to trade all these future assets for a quarterback. We are a quarterback needy team. I think you get a stopgap with Fields. I like that option. Stable has worked with athletic quarterbacks, right? He's not a perfect passer by any means. But you can't – where teams get into trouble is they force a rookie quarterback into a bad situation.
Or they overinflate. Right?
Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes, 100%. We've seen it a million times in this city alone. The other thing they do
–
Cameron, and thanks for the call. What they do additionally, which compounds it, first of all, they overinflate what the player is to fit the need. That's mistake number one. And then mistake number two is they thrust them into the games, into the situation way too early out of desperation, whether it's ownership kind of breathing down their neck or the fans getting restless or trying to salvage a season, which means they can salvage their own job status and security. There's a lot of reasons why quarterbacks fail. Those are just a couple of them.
It's been multiple, and I think even in the case of both these New York teams recently, it was different how the Jets set up Zach Wilson to fail versus how Daniel Jones failed. Daniel Jones' first year was that of a rookie quarterback with promise. It wasn't one that said, oh my God, you're throwing him to the Wolves and he's overmatched and looks disastrous. It was he's a little bit of a turnover machine, but there was reason to believe that Daniel Jones could be the guy. I never felt like he was thrown to the Wolves or overmatched. The way that Zach Wilson was set up to fail with a rookie head coach who's a defensive mind, a rookie offensive coordinator after the passing, unfortunately, of Greg Knapp, and then Zach Wilson in New York with that franchise with nothing else around him. So there were different circumstances to screw them both up. And back to the Justin Fields point, I was thinking about this, and that's why there was a little bit of hesitation in my response to him. What was Daniel Jones, what ended up being Daniel Jones' greatest strength as a quarterback?
His legs.
What is Justin Fields' greatest strength?
His legs.
Okay, so other than the potential price, right, which they committed, what, $40 million a year to Daniel Jones, you're almost getting yourself in the same spot. Like, Justin Fields and Daniel Jones are very similar quarterbacks in my mind. Neither can throw the football well enough, or at least neither have proven that they could throw the football consistently or well enough to have ultimate success.
Yeah, the biggest problem for me with Daniel Jones was not that he couldn't throw it beyond, 12, 15 yards. He just wouldn't. Think about the flea flicker that they had out in Germany.
Yeah.
You had two guys wide open. We saw the film.
I know.
Like, now, was that because he was in his own head? He wasn't quite doing that as a rookie when he was airing it out a little bit more. So he just had to get out of here. I think that the other thing, too, that you would get, and the more I think about this, the more I really do like Fields, unless they just love Aller or somebody else that falls to him at three in the draft, is that, he's going to be a lot cheaper. Like, if they bring in Justin Fields this year, they're not giving him $40 million. Now, they're not going to give him $7 or $8 million like Tyrod Taylor's backing up Aaron Rodgers this year, but they're going to, he's probably going to get 15, 18, 20, some incentives, whatever, and if he hits the incentives, you don't mind. Hey, here's the bottom line. This is what I need from the Giants quarterback in 2025. I need some juice.
Right.
I need at least a guy who's got a little wiggle.
Something to watch.
Who got a little charisma. I mean, enough with the Tommy DeVito nonsense. Would everybody stop? Yeah, he's the future of the Giants. Okay.
Well, who's saying that? There's only one guy that says that.
It's really Loogie. The most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. Tommy DeVito. And I'm rooting for the kid. Stop. It's crazy. I mean, he might be coaching Cedar Grove High School before he's actually a star in the NFL. Oh. He should no, and that's not disrespect. Yeah, yeah. That's, to me, just evaluating his skill set. I just don't think he has it to be a starter. I don't mean a backup. So you got to obviously upgrade this. I mean, and Drew Lock, whatever, he is what he is. Once a year, he plays very well. Get a young kid out there who's going to just let it hang a little bit. And I think Justin Fields is going to do that. I think if Dable can unlock him just a little bit more, there's something there with him.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, get you down with the King topic of the day, and it is, of course, the Giants quarterback conversation. We'll also get in some baseball next hour as well. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.